for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday evening, June the 23rd, 1982. Family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Frank Hammond is the teacher of the evening.
Thank you, Jesus. I found it to be very important in our ministry to begin to emphasize more and more the spiritual tools or the spiritual power that God has given us that enables us to minister effectively for Him. Adam May and I were talking about this a little while back, about how God had given us such a glorious portion of discerning of spirits and words of knowledge and the gift of faith and things like that that are so vital as we minister to people. And we wondered if maybe we hadn't just sort of taken some of that for granted and failed to realize how important it is for those that we minister to also to be similarly equipped to do the work of the Lord. You know, there is a lot of ignorance about the gifts of the Spirit and the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, as we minister in deliverance and we move in the gift of discerning of spirits, sometimes we have people come up to Adam A. and I, and they suppose that because this gift operates in our ministry, in our ministry to others, that we just, you know, can turn it off and on at will, and that we just always go around kind of like we have X-ray vision, you know, and we're looking at everybody and immediately discerning all of the evil spirits that they have in them. Well, this happens occasionally, and I'll tell you about one particular incident where a lady came up and she said, Brother Frank, I know you move in the discerning of spirits, and said, I'd like to know if you see anything in me. So I very dutifully and carefully studied her from the tip of her toes right on up. I just like I was looking through her. And when I got through, she said, well, do you see anything in me? And I said, yes, I certainly do. I see something in you. She said, well, what is it? I said, I see Jesus. I said, that's all I was looking for. Praise the Lord. You know, some people think that, I guess, because we're in the ministry of deliverance, that we just have our mind totally occupied with the enemy all the time. You know, Jesus told his disciples when they came back, the 70 that had been going out in ministry, and they came back and they said, Jesus, even the demons were subject unto us in your name. And it's like Jesus said, yeah, I know. You know, I saw Satan when he fell like lightning from heaven. But in this rejoice not that the demons are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, you know, while we're learning about deliverance, we're learning about evil spirits, I guess it's important for a while that we give a special concentration of our attention to what we're learning about, but never let that replace the emphasis that we have on our Jesus. Our minds are to be set upon Him. And the reason we get through deliverance is so we can get rid of the things that stand between us and the Lord so that we can give fuller attention to Him. Now, I want to talk more about the gifts of the Spirit and especially these gifts that pertain to the ministry of deliverance. There are several of the gifts. In fact, all of the gifts are important. It's not a matter of saying, well, you know, well, I just choose these few. Because you have to have the gifts of the Spirit to minister whatever the need is. And when you're ministering deliverance, there are times when you really need all of the gifts of the Spirit. But there are some that are predominantly used, and we desire this. The discerning of spirits, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and faith. Those especially have become predominant in our own ministry. You know, there is a principle of the operation of God's Spirit. Wherever God commissions a people to do something, He always equips them to do what He has asked them to do and called them to do. I remember when the Lord called me to preach, whether you can appreciate how timid and shy and self-conscious I was as a young man. I was so afraid. I went regular to the church all my life. I always was regularly in church. But when I got to be a teenager, the pastor would call on some of the teenage boys to lead in prayer from time to time. And that frightened me so, to be called on. My voice would quiver and my knees would smite one against the other. So I would stay out of the service and stay outside the church building until all of the prayers had been said and the preacher had started his sermon, and then I'd come in. And just as he was concluding his sermon, before the benediction, I would slip out because I was so afraid that he would call on me to lead in prayer. And when the Lord called me to preach, I had always said, well, now, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do, anything except preach. I can't preach because I was so afraid to stand before people. I'd just forget everything that I knew. And so I was, first of all, called to pastor a little halftime church. It just met every second and fourth Sunday, and it only had at the most about 20 people in it at any one time. And you know, it was out in the country, out on old dirt roads, and I found myself praying, Lord, let it rain so the roads will get muddy and the people can't be there, because I'm just so scared to get up there and say anything. But you know, when God called me to preach, He equipped me. He gave me what I needed to do what He wanted me to do. I don't have to be like some other minister. All I have to be is just be the one that God called and to do the things that God has asked me to do. So I've seen in my own life that when He wants me to do something, He equips me to do it. Now, I pastored for 20 years in Baptist churches, and I don't think more than perhaps one or two times did I ever have an invitation to go outside of the church that I pastored to minister anywhere else. I just didn't have that special calling to be an evangelist, and I just didn't have that emphasis, and very few times anybody ever wanted me to come to their church and minister. When God baptized me in the Holy Spirit, I mean, everything just took on new dimensions. And invitations soon began to go out as people learned that we were casting out demons and asked us to come to their church and minister and ask us to go to conferences and all of that. One of the first places I went, we had learned deliverance in our basement. We lived up in the mountains in Colorado. We had long snow seasons up there and frigid, cold weather, you know, for months. And we had a basement in our home, and we had our church there, and that's where we learned about deliverance. We started with the little fellowship we had and cast demons out of one another, and then people just began to hear about it and began to come. And I kept saying, well, Lord, what am I doing in this basement? Why do I have such a small ministry? When I was pastoring a Baptist church in Houston, we had several hundred people, and we were growing and having building programs, and here I am ministering to just a dozen or two people. And the Lord said, you're dying. And said, when you get dead enough, I'll let you out of the grave. So I stayed up there for 6 years, after 7 years after I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I was in a school of the Spirit, and I was learning things. God was equipping me and getting us into the gifts of the Spirit and things so we could go out and minister. One of the first places He sent me was to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We'd written our book while we were there, and when we finished our book, well, it kind of advertised our ministry. And I got a call, and people said, I want you to come to Pittsburgh. We're having a big charismatic meeting there, and we want to have a deliverance teaching, and we want you to come and be the deliverance teacher for the camp. And here I crawl out of a basement up there in the mountains where I'd been in hibernation for 7 years. And I went to this place in Pittsburgh, and here they had registered 6,000 people. In the evening services, they had it there in the Coliseum, and it was about 8,000 or 9,000 people. And they had a faculty of 20-something people, you know. So after the first night's meeting, they wanted all the faculty to come together and say, tell something about yourself and your ministry. And this brother got up, and he was a professor from some big university in England, and he told about all of his pedigrees and all that he did, you know. Another fellow had come, I think it was from California, and he pastored a large church out there, and they had just acquired new property, and he said that it was so big that the church plant had 25 restrooms in it. And, everybody had some big testimony, you know, about their ministry. And all I could say was, well, my name is Frank Hammond, and this is my wife, Ida May, and we just crawled out of a basement up in Colorado, and we're glad to be here. But God has been so gracious to us, and we appreciate the Lord and the gifts that He's given to minister to His people and to see captives set free. You know, when Jesus sent out the 12, and he sent them out to preach the gospel, and he sent them out to heal and to deliver from evil spirits, see, he gave them the spiritual power, the spiritual authority by which they would minister. When the 70 went out, he did the same thing, because they came back giving the report of how they had ministered effectively because of the empowerment that the Lord gave to them. Now, Jesus gave a commission to the entire church, and he said, "All power and authority is given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. Go ye, therefore." Jesus was saying to them, the same power and authority with which I have ministered is available to you. Jesus doesn't want us to go out and try to do his work without being equipped. And his equipment is a spiritual equipment. Now, God has called his church into spiritual warfare. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, identified with him and identified with his church, has a call upon their life to be involved in spiritual battle. Each one of us as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the last chapter of Mark, it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." So God says everyone who is a believer in him is commissioned to do the work of spiritual warfare. We do have power and authority over unclean spirits. So we have a purpose. We have an objective. In meetings like this, we have a dual purpose. We have the purpose of getting God's people free. Many are still coming in. There is a fresh, intensive move of the Spirit of God emphasizing deliverance and spiritual warfare. And God is still setting people free. And many of you are being set free. But there is a goal, there is an objective beyond that. That is not the end of the matter. We are set free and we begin to receive and move in the things of God so that we will be used to be a blessing to others. God wants us to become ministers. You know, like in evangelism, "Ye shall be fishers of men." Well, at one time you were a fish, but when you got caught, you became a fisherman. Now, God, you may have been lost out yonder in the sea of sin somewhere, but God has redeemed you and he has put you into his church, into his body, and he has given you a place and he has given you a responsibility. So the whole church, Jesus said in Matthew 16 that the church would be a powerful militant church. The gates of hell would not be able to stand or prevail against that church. So it's the picture of a militant church that takes the aggression of warfare against the devil. We're not waiting for him to attack us and defend ourselves, but we are to attack him and to destroy the very gates of hell. So we have a commission to do that. Now, God wouldn't ask his church to do that. He wouldn't ask me and you to do that unless he would equip us to do that. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. So God has given us weapons. The weapons are not carnal weapons. The weapons for spiritual warfare are not fleshly weapons, but they are spiritual weapons, and they are mighty in God to the pulling down of satanic strongholds. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that God has equipped us as spiritual soldiers with spiritual armor. The pieces of the armor are listed there. There are seven pieces. That's the number of spiritual completeness. And so there are spiritual armor pieces that are named there, seven complete pieces of armor that we can put on. In other words, God has not given us a partial equipment, but he has given us a complete equipment. He has not given us a partial armor, but he has given us a complete armor. He says, put on the whole armor of God. It comes from God. It is whole. It is complete. It is all that we need to protect ourselves when we go into spiritual battle. Now, God has given us power. The word power, one of the words that's in the King James translation, is better translated by authority. God has given us spiritual authority to go against the power of the enemy. The power that God has given to us is not natural power. It is not something that just comes through ourselves. It is not something that comes as some kind of a human talent. But the power and the authority that God has given to us is supernatural power and supernatural authority. I love that the Word of God tells us that Satan has been stripped of all of the weapons wherein he trusted. God has already done that. When we come against the devil, here we come against one who has had his armor taken away from him. There's only two times in the New Testament where it speaks of the armor. One refers to that reference of Satan and the other one to the armor that God has given us in Ephesians 6. God has taken away all of the armor in which the devil trusted, but he has given us the complete armor of God. So we are equipped, and we know that we can be successful. We know that we can defeat the powers of the devil. Now, the ministry of deliverance, and Brother David got a little of my thunder today, but it's all right to repeat. I've learned that. He talked about the ministry of deliverance as being a miracle ministry. That's what it says, for one place, in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. When Philip went out and he began to minister to the people, and it said, the people saw the miracles which he did. And the very first miracle that is mentioned is the miracle of deliverance. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many who were possessed with them. So when you see the ministry of deliverance, when you see evil spirits being cast out, it is a miracle ministry. And no miracle of God can take place apart from His supernatural power. Now, the power of God is channeled. When God says, I will give you my power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall receive power. Now, the empowerment comes by the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The channels of power are the gifts of God's Holy Spirit. Now, this is what God equips us with to do the ministry of deliverance. The power of the Holy Spirit channels through the supernatural gift of discerning of spirits, the supernatural gifts of words of knowledge and words of wisdom and gifts of faith. These are the tools that God has given to us. These are the things that we must rely upon when we minister deliverance. We must use what God has given us and nothing else. Do you hear me? We use what God has imparted to us. We use His supernatural power and not anything else. Now, the reason I am emphasizing that is that because if we try and attempt to minister a supernatural miracle ministry of deliverance without the spiritual gifts of the Spirit, then we will resort to doing it in the flesh. And the fleshly weapons are not effective. God says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And we have to have powers to work against these demons that are not of the flesh. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we can't do it with carnal methods. We can't do it with carnal weapons. We must use the spiritual weapons, and those are the ones that the Lord has made available to us. Now, even it can get worse than that. It can get worse than that. Because I have seen and heard about experiences where people, rather than to depend upon the sources that God provided for them, even began to depend upon what the demons might provide for them, and to use demonic resources rather than God's resources. So I say with great emphasis upon your understanding tonight and upon your heart that we must stick to the spiritual weapons with which God has endowed us. The weapons that are not carnal. Now, I'll just tell you about a few of the carnal weapons that I've seen employed. Not too long ago, there was a lady came to us and she brought her 12-year-old daughter for the ministry of deliverance. But before she permitted us to minister to her daughter, she wanted to know how we were going to minister. And the reason that she was so particular about how we were going to minister was because a few months previously, she had taken her little girl to another deliverance ministry. And the other deliverance ministry, where they got through with her and they took her little girl home, the daddy was very upset because his little girl had bruises all over her body. And she said what happened was that the deliverance minister said, well, you know, different demons indwell different parts of the body. And the way to get them out is to beat on that part of the body. And so they had proceeded to beat that little girl's legs and thighs and arms and torso until her whole body was covered with bruises, trying to get the demons to come out by actually pounding on her flesh. Now, this is what God's Word is saying to us. The weapons are not carnal. You don't have to beat people with a stick or with your fist or anything else to get demons to come out. God has given us power and authority over unclean spirits to speak to them. You know, when Jesus went into the synagogue in the first chapter of Mark, and here was the man that made the demonstration in the service, and Jesus commanded that spirit to come out. Now, when it did, the people were amazed. Now, they weren't amazed that a man had a demon. They were not even amazed that a man in the synagogue had a demon. But they were amazed that they said, we have never seen anybody deal with an evil spirit with such authority. All he did was speak to it. Because the Jews knew about evil spirits, and they had methods of exorcism that they tried to employ to deal with evil spirits. But they had never seen evil spirits dealt with just by speaking words of authority. And that's what God has given us to use in spiritual warfare. I've heard of people to try to get evil spirits out pouring wine down people's throat when they were taken over by spirits and laying out on the floor. I told you the other night of a man that was taken over by evil spirits and people begin to throw their Bibles on top of him. Well, after all, it's the sword of the Spirit, isn't it? But see, that's not the way to use the Bible as the sword of the Spirit. You don't throw the Bible at the devil. Hallelujah. That's a fleshly wet method. That's a fleshly tool that you're trying to use. I've been in places where they would lay crucifixes and crosses on people to try to get the spirit to come out, where there would be a sort of a ritual chanting of the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, rather than using the power of truth of what the blood of Jesus has done for us, how it justifies, how it sanctifies, how it cleanses, how it redeems, how it atones. That's what defeats the devil. He doesn't like to hear about the truth of the blood of Jesus as to what it has done for us. I've seen one very gross thing taking place as people try to minister deliverance by proxy to other people. And what they're doing, they're inviting the demons that are in that other person to come into them and then cast them out of themselves. And so they'll be trying to minister to somebody else, and all the time they're ministering, they're coughing and wheezing and burping and taking off. Well, see, what we're talking about are some of these unseemly, foolish things that people get into when they try to get into the ministry of deliverance, and they depart from the simplicity of the weapons that God has put in our hands to use against the power of the devil. I've even had people say that others have told them, stick your finger down your throat and make yourself vomit so that you can vomit out that demon. Well, I've seen people gag and all of that when they receive the ministry of deliverance. But you know, very little food substance comes up. I've seen people eat large meals, steak and potatoes, and they'll retch and all of that when they get deliverance, and old foam and stuff will come out of them. But very, very seldom does food come out. Because that's not a part of it. That's not a part of it. Now, there are a lot of different methods that are involved. The words of knowledge and the discerning of spirits operate in different ways in different ministries. God's Spirit has a variety of ways to bring things forward. But what I'm appealing to you tonight, to get involved in spiritual warfare and know that God has equipped you, that you don't have to use fleshly weapons. In fact, fleshly weapons are not going to get the job done. But the weapons that God has provided are completely adequate for the task. The Holy Spirit is our supernatural source. That means that if the Holy Spirit is our source, isn't it glorious that we don't have to depend upon what a demon tells us to get somebody delivered? Glory to God. You know, God is a jealous God. The Scripture tells us that. And He is jealous. You know, He's like our husband. And a wife shouldn't go somewhere other than to her husband to get her needs met. And the same, the husband shouldn't go somewhere to get his needs met other than to his wife. And so we are like we're married to the Lord. And God says, I have a covenant relationship with you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you everything you need. You don't have to go somewhere else. And so it becomes spiritual adultery when a person goes outside of God to get supernatural help, to go outside of God to receive knowledge, wisdom, guidance, or power. We must not go away from our main source, which is God Himself. You know, in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, there is a listing there of an occult things, of occult activities. And it says that these kind of activities are an abomination unto the Lord. God says that the reason that His people have been given the land of Canaan, and the reason that the Canaanites are destroyed and driven out of that land, was because they yielded themselves to these abominations. And you read that list of abominations, and those things include the kind of abominations where people get into very close relationship with evil spirits, to where they begin to talk to evil spirits. And if you want to court this, evil spirits will talk to you. They will tell you things. Now, God doesn't want us to get involved in talking to evil spirits. We don't get our theology from evil spirits. We do not get our guidance from evil spirits. We do not depend upon evil spirits to help us in the ministry of deliverance. We depend upon God. God is our source. If we get to depend upon what evil spirits are saying to us, we're involved in the same kind of an abominable activity that one is who gets into witchcraft, who gets into spiritism, who gets into necromancy, and these things where there is communication with evil spirits. God didn't tell us to communicate with them. He said to cast them out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, as long as they're talking, they're just delaying anyhow. So we need to tell them like Jesus did, shut up and get out. Now, some people say, well, but you may run into an emergency like Saul did. You know, Saul had his back to the wall, or he thought he did. And he just had to hear from God, and God wasn't talking to him because of some of the things that he had done. And so since he couldn't hear from God, he went to a witch of Endor. So let's not get our backs to the wall and feel like that we have to go to Satan and get help from him and ask him to guide us in the ministry of deliverance. To rely on demons is to rely upon a source that is other than God. To rely upon demons or to rely upon human knowledge is actually to deny the truth that God is able and has provided us with the weapons, with the tools, with the knowledge, with the wisdom, with the understanding, with everything that we need to perform the ministry that He has assigned us. Where God gives an assignment, when God gives a commission, He gives along with it all that we need to fulfill that commission. You know, the Lord's help is so beautiful. Let me show you now. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6, just a moment. 2 Kings chapter 6, and let's read right here, beginning in verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. Now get the picture. The king of Syria was warring against the people of Israel. And the king of Syria was telling his commanders and his troops, we're going to camp in a certain place. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. So the warning came from the prophet of God to the king of Israel, be careful and stay away from that place because that's where the Syrians are camping. Now how did he know that? God revealed it to him. He didn't get it because a spy had come and reported, but because the Spirit of God had given him a word of knowledge as to where that king had encamped. All right, reading on. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of and saved him there not once nor twice. Several times he was saved by the message, word of knowledge. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled at this thing. And he called his servants and he said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? King of Syria said, we got a traitor in the camp. Somebody's giving away the secrets and telling the enemy where we are camped. And one of the men spoke up. One of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel. Telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." Now, see, that's the way we have to go into battle. We need words of knowledge many times about the plots and the plans of the enemy and what he's done and what he's trying to do. But God, you see, is our source. Just like he got the information through the man of God to the king of Israel, God is still doing that today. When we seek him, he will give us all of the facts that we know, need to know about the operation of the enemy. Well, let's go to another scripture. Go with me to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9, and beginning in verse 3, it tells about when Joshua and his people were coming in now to conquer the inhabitants in Canaan and to claim the land. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. Excuse me, I'm in chapter 8. I knew that didn't read right. Okay, try chapter 9. Okay, try it again. Verse 3. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they did work wildly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went up to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us." And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, "Preadventure ye dwell among us. And how shall we make a league with you?" And they said unto Joshua, "We are thy servants." And Joshua said unto them, "Who are ye, and from whence come ye?" And they said unto him, "From a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the name of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon and Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth." Now, let me just paraphrase what we've read there. These people were part of those that God had given instructions to annihilate. And when they began to see other nations around them annihilated, they cooked up a scheme, a deceptive plot, to put on old clothing and take moldy bread and make it look like they had traveled a long, long ways and come to Joshua and the people of Israel and say, "We want to make peace terms with you and make you promise that you will never attack us, not attack our nation." Now, Joshua quizzed them. He quizzed the enemy. He said, "Now you tell us the truth. Who are you and where did you come from?" And so they made a big spiel, and they spilled out all of this garbage about how far they had come, and look at their old wore-out clothes and their fresh bread, and everything was fresh and new when they started on their journey, and they lived so far away that everything was worn out by the time they got to Joshua. Now, this was deception. The devil is a specialist in deception. You can quiz demons, and they will continue to lie to you. Even when you tell them, "Tell me the truth in the name of Jesus," they will still lie. Now, they mix a little truth in and a little error in to deceive you and to get you to draw in. Now, I learned this early in the ministry of deliverance. About the only way, I didn't know much about the gifts of the Spirit, and so I would command the demons to tell me, "What is your name and who else is there with you?" So I got a demon to talk one day when I was ministering to somebody, and I said, "What's your name?" And he gave me a name. I said, "How many other demons are in there?" He said, 12. I said, "What are their names?" And he gave them. I wrote them down on a piece of paper. Well, we started ministry. We called. I said, "Is that all, devil?" He said, "That's all. You telling me the truth? I'm telling you the truth." All right? So I called out those 12 devils. They were coming out. When I finished the 12th one, another one popped up. And I said, "What's your name?" And he gave me a name, and it wasn't on the list. And I said, "But such and such a demon back there told me there were 12 of you, and you weren't on the list. How come?" He said, "Believe him. Believe him." In other words, believe that demon that told you that lie. Like Don Basham said, he was dealing with a lying spirit one time, and he said, "You lying spirit, you telling me the truth?"
Yeah.
Demons are liars. Now, when they tell the truth, they're never going to tell the truth to try to help you. They're never going to tell the truth to try to assist you in the ministry of deliverance. There's always a hook behind what they have to tell you. You don't have to depend upon the lying mouths of evil spirits to do the work of God. God will give you the words of knowledge. He will give you the discerning of spirit, and we must rely upon God and God alone to do the work of ministry. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. Now, what if God doesn't reveal anything to you? What if you're ministering and God doesn't show you anything? Well, if God doesn't show you anything, it may be because you're not able to hear right then, or it may be because it's not God's timing. There may be some reason why you can't receive instructions from the Lord. You know, one thing I've learned about the ministry of deliverance, if I'm not getting discernment and God's not telling me what to do next, I don't feel that I have to continue. I say, well, let's just shut it down. That's all the discernment I have. You know, we might be rolling along and God giving words of knowledge and discerning of spirit, and all of a sudden, you know you're not through. But all of a sudden, it just all shuts off, and God's Spirit's not telling you anything else. That's good time to be honest. That's not a time to force anything, because if you go beyond what God's saying to you, see, you get in the flesh. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, and so we've got into trouble again. Well, some people, you know, come up and they want to demand discernment. I people come up and say, I've got demons. Now, Brother Frank, you have discernment. I want you to discern my devils. Yeah. Well, sometimes the Lord just steps right in there and he begins to tell me things. Other times, it's just like it's blank and I'm not receiving anything from the Lord. I found out I don't have to be deceitful, that I don't have to pretend I'm so spiritual that I can get discernment anytime I want it. Thank God I've learned how to be honest and say, well, I'm not receiving anything from the Lord. I'm sorry. We'll try again later. Now, remember again that we are equipped with the spiritual weapons. We're equipped with the gifts of the Spirit, and it comes through the door of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, there is the speaking in tongues. We are able then to pray in the Spirit, which the Scripture says that when a man prays in the Spirit, he edifies himself and builds himself up. Now, still once in a while, we find somebody that says, well, I would like to have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but do I have to speak in tongues? Well, I like to say it this way. You can receive the Holy Spirit and you get to speak in tongues. I mean, you get the blessing of being able to pray supernaturally anytime you need to, anytime you want to, and to pray a perfect prayer in accordance with the will of God. It's kind of tickled me that there are some churches and some denominations that are getting interested and even getting involved in the ministry of deliverance, but they are yet reluctant to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. A while back, we were on an air flight, and the Lord arranged something that was so precious. He set Adame and I on a row. There were three seats in the row, and Adame was sitting in the middle. I was on the aisle seat, and there was a man over next to the window. And right after the flight took off, well, they began to serve us some refreshments. So we bowed to pray, and the man sitting next to us bowed to pray. So we added two and two together and said, he must be a believer. So we asked him, we said, are you a Christian? He said, well, I certainly am. And in fact, he told us that he was a denominational worker and that he worked with a group of people in language missions up in New York City and a few things like that. And I said, well, I used to work for that same convention. I used to work for the Baptist Home Mission Board, And so we had a little identity. And without anything else being said, this man looked at me and he said, do you know anything about the demons? I couldn't believe my ears. I said, what did you say? He said, do you know anything about the demons? I said, well, in fact, I guess you'd say we do. We're on our way now to a conference up in Pennsylvania to teach and to minister on deliverance and cast demons out. And Adame and I have written a little book on the subject of deliverance. And so we got to talking to this fella. And he says, you know, he said, we found out in our work how important it is, this ministry of deliverance and casting out devils. And so finally we got around to ask him. We said, well, have you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? He said, no. I said, well, how do you cast demons out without the baptism in the Holy Spirit? How do you know what you're dealing with? And he said, oh, we asked the demons. Now, you see, when people do that, that's doing it the hard way. Now, a person who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can cast a demon out because he has authority. But he couldn't do it blindfolded. He's not going to be able to see in the spirit realm and have a discerning of spirits. He's not going to have access to words of knowledge. See, this man didn't even know what a word of knowledge was. He didn't have any idea about a discerning of spirit. All that he knew to do was to go about it by natural means. And we were privileged to share with him that there is a more excellent way. Hallelujah. That he can minister deliverance in the power of God's Holy Spirit. And brother, if you'll just receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and receive the tongues that go along with it and pray in the Spirit and be built up in the Spirit, then the other gifts of the Spirit will begin to operate in your life. Oh, that was so beautiful when that began to happen to me and I was experiencing the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then the other gifts, see, out of that branch, the other gifts. Just one little part of the gifts of the Spirit is for you. That's just a part of the gift of speaking in tongues. There's another part of the gift of speaking in tongues that we had here tonight in the service where there was a public utterance with interpretation. And all of the other gifts of the Spirit are not for your personal benefit to just give you goose pimples and to give you heavenly electricity, but it's for the purpose of letting you become a supernatural channel of God through which the power of God is ministered out in the lives of others. So it comes through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So don't say, do I have to speak in tongues? Derek Prince, I love the way that he puts it. He says, somebody says, well, I have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but I don't speak in tongues. He said, oh, another trunkless elephant. You know, an elephant has a trunk, and that trunk really represents his power. That's that trunk he uses to move trees with and everything else. That's his power, too. And so the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the tongues that go along with it, is like to us the trunk to the elephant. It is that which gives us power and authority to do the work of the Lord. Now, the gift of discerning spirits then makes talking with demons unnecessary. And this gift is essential, and it is also available to every believer whom God has called into spiritual warfare to do battle against the enemy. It says there in the passage in 1 Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14, where it's dealing with this overall subject, that's all one total context, it emphasizes that we want these gifts. We are to desire these gifts. We are even to covet earnestly the best of these gifts. See, this is something that we must want. This is something that we must desire, that we can receive from the Lord. You know, everything we receive from the Lord comes through the channel of our faith. You know, if you ask, you have to ask in faith. God says that if you want the Holy Spirit, if you want the gifts of the Holy Spirit, then you ask, but you have to ask in faith. If you don't, do not think that you will be able to receive anything of the Lord. So we ask for the gifts of the Spirit and the operation of these things in our life, that our spiritual sensitivity might be increased, that our spiritual power and our spiritual authority might be increased. Do not confuse discerning of spirits with the word of knowledge. In the word of knowledge, God discloses certain facts that would otherwise be unknown to you. He will give you factual information through words of knowledge that you would not have any way of knowing except God would reveal those things unto you. Now, I remember we were ministering to a woman one time, and I had never seen the woman before. I did not know anything at all about her life. And we just run across her, and she had asked us to minister deliverance. At that time, we were staying in town in a motel. So we asked her to come to the motel room. As she sat down and we started to minister to her, God said she has had an abortion. Now, I have to act on what God tells me. And I said, sister, the Lord says for you to get free that you're going to have to deal with the fact that you've committed a sin of murder. And that is through abortion. God told me that you have had an abortion. Have you had abortion? She said, yes, I have. Well, see, that was the key to her ministry. She had a tremendous ministry and a tremendous deliverance because God had given us supernaturally a fact concerning her life that we would never have known. She wouldn't have known to tell us about that because she didn't at that point recognize that abortion was sin, that she had committed murder by taking the life of her child. So it was important that God give us that. See how God can move in the words of knowledge to assist us in this kind of ministry? Now, the word of knowledge many times works right in conjunction with the gift of the discerning of spirits. In fact, sometimes they are so interlaced and interwoven, it's even difficult to really separate them for the sake of diagnosis. Let me give you an illustration of how these two gifts can work together. One day we were ministering to a lady in our church back at home, and as she came in, God gave me a word of knowledge, and it came through a vision. And in this little mental vision, I saw a birthday cake. It was a beautiful birthday cake with white frosting and red lettering on it. And on top of the cake were the letters 32. And so I said to the sister, I said, well, God has just shown me a birthday cake, and it has 32 on top of it. And she said, I said, does that mean anything to you? She said, well, it'll be 3 months, but in 3 months, I will be 32 years of age. The other minister who was there ministering with me, he said, well, as we were seeking the Lord, I got a discerning of spirits. I got a discernment on a spirit of rejection. So we said, well, those two things go together. The spirit of rejection entered you 3 months before you were born. And so we said, we'll deal with it. Now, the reason the woman had come in was because she had a problem with her back. She was driving a school bus, and when she went to shift gears, something happened, and her back went out of focus, and she had been in bed for a week, and she had just managed to crawl out of bed and come down to the church office to ask us to pray for her. So the Lord was showing us that a spirit of rejection had attached itself to her spine 3 months before she was born. We commanded that spirit of rejection to leave her, and it came out with definite manifestation. Instantly, that woman's spine was straightened. She had a double curvature of the spine. When the demon went off of her spine, her back was completely straightened. She went home that night. Her husband was not a Christian, but he looked at her and he said, what happened to you today? And she said, what do you mean? He said, you're taller than you were. And he put her against the wall and measured her, and she was 2 inches taller than she was when he went to work that morning, because the curvature had gone out of her spine and she had increased in stature that much. So here was a combination. God gave a word of knowledge that the trouble that she had began 3 months before she was born. The sequel to that was she didn't know that her mother had rejected her before birth, but her mother was still living, and she asked her mother the next time she saw her, said, Mother, was there any reason you didn't want me before I was born? And her mother said that about 3 months before she was born, she got up on the chest of drawers and jumped off several times, hoping that she could abort that pregnancy. She had rejected. She said, I did not want you when I found out I was pregnant with you, and I did all that I could to try to lose you before you were born. And that's how the spirit of rejection entered that woman. Well, supernatural insight into the realm of God, or supernatural insight into the spirit realm, is what we experience through the gift of discerning of spirits. As David pointed out to us this morning, it is not a general discernment. It's not that you just discern everything that's going on. It's a limited discernment. It says the operation of discernment for the discerning of spirits. Now, there are many valuable uses for the gift of the discerning of spirits. For one thing, it discloses the presence and the operation of evil spirits. Now, Irma said that she and Glenn, and that's true, they were there taping the Full Gospel Convention in Denver when I was there and received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the next day, after I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you folks probably remember this, those hippies that were there, and they were, the businessmen had invited all the hippies. They'd gone around the Denver Capitol building down there where the hippies lounged on the lawn and smoked marijuana, and gathered them all up and brought them into the meeting and said, we're going to give a banquet for you. We're going to feed you, because they wanted to win those hippies to the Lord. Well, the next morning, a bunch of those hippies had come back to the meeting. And that was the morning that they asked me, because the day before there, I had received the baptism, to give my testimony. So I went up on the platform. Now, remember, I just had the baptism the day before. And I'm sitting on the platform. God gave my testimony, and they said, well, just sit here on the platform with us for a while. So I sat down. About the time I sat down, a hippie got up from the back of the auditorium and started weaving among the dinner tables coming on down to the front. Another one got up behind him, a third one got up behind him, and here come these three hippies trailing Indian fashion through the tables up to the front. Now, I looked at those hippies, and something went off in me. And I said to the man next to me, I said, those men are not in the Spirit of the Lord. And he said, well, they sure don't look too good. About that time, I had a pressure inside of me, and I said to this stranger sitting next to me, I said, why, he has a demon in him. And that man looked at me, and he said, you must have a discerning of spirits. Now, see, I didn't even know what that was. I just had the baptism the day before. I hadn't learned about all the gifts. He said, you must have a discerning of spirit. I said to him, I don't know what I've got, but I know what he's got. He's got a demon. So these fellas come up to the platform, and they want to take over the microphone. And one of the international directors, Sam Rudd, was speaking, and he tried to get them to sit down. And they wouldn't sit down. And so finally, he just gave one of the fellas the mic. And this old, dirty, long-haired, smelly hippie got up there, lifted his hands, and he said, I am Jesus. I am the way. Well, everybody in the room knew he had a demon then. I mean, the secret was out of the bag. Now, the next thing that happened was very astounding. About five people stood up instantly, reached their hands out, and began to bind and rebuke demons in those three men standing there on the platform. And one of them was my wife. She was sitting at the back of the auditorium. She had only had the baptism in the Holy Spirit 3 weeks. She had never been to a meeting where anything supernatural was going on. And she stood up by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and the gift of faith rose up in her to bind and rebuke those spirits in those young men. She said that faith was so strong in her that she knew if she had spoken to the whole chain of the Rocky Mountains to go jump in the Pacific Ocean, that they would have gone. She said, I just had to work off that faith that was on me, and I just kept saying out of my, said I repeated, I believe, I believe, I believe. Now, when she and the others stood up, reached out their hands, and rebuked the demons in those hippies, all three of them, bang, hit the floor. Nobody had touched them with their hand. All three of them were just unconscious, laid out there. The businessman picked them up by the hands and legs and carried them out of the room into a side room. And it happened that they were the leaders of the hippie community. And a lot of their followers in the back of the auditorium saw their leaders suddenly smitten. And so they went in the side room to see what had happened to their leaders. And the businessmen led most of them to the Lord. They received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, got deliverance, got cleaned up, and went back home clothed and in their right minds. That was my introduction to the supernatural powers of God. And I don't know what it takes for you, but when I saw that, my appetite for the spiritual things of God was quickened. And I said, glory to God. I've been looking for something like this all of my life. Hallelujah. Here is the power of God that we read about in the Bible and in the book of Acts. Thank the Lord. And I wanted to find out all I could, and I wanted to experience all I could about the operation of those gifts of God's Holy Spirit. Well, there are examples in the book of Acts and other places in the Scripture about the operation of the discerning of spirits to disclose the operation and presence of evil spirits. Now, another one of the purposes of discerning of spirits is to determine whether or not a problem is demonic or whether it might be a physical problem. See, you'll discern, if it's a spiritual problem, you'll discern what evil spirit might be involved in that and might be perpetuating that thing. You know, some of the problems that we encounter as we minister are not always totally a demonic problem. Sometimes there's a mixture. Sometimes there needs to be a healing as well as a deliverance. Like we cast spirits of cancer out of people, but even as the spirit of cancer has gone out, still there needs to be a restoration. There needs to be a miracle restoration from the damage that that cancer has done to the person's body. So Jesus will reveal these things to us, and Jesus will make these things known to us. You know, when Jesus ministered, there were some of the things that were demonic. There were things like blindness that was demonic. Things like deafness were demonic. Fever, epilepsy, torment, vexation, insanity. Jesus healed those people through deliverance by casting out evil spirits. Now, we've done the same thing. We found one time when we first got in the ministry of deliverance that tumor could be demonic. There was a lady came for deliverance, and she had a tumor on her side. It was a big tumor. It was bigger than her hand when she laid her hand on her side. And so God gave us a discerning of that spirit of tumor, and we commanded it to leave her. A very interesting thing began to happen. We could see that large tumor moving under her dress. And it started moving slowly, and it moved from her side around to the front. Then it started moving up her body under her dress and moving up. And when it got up into her throat, she began to throw up a heavy, clear liquid. It looked like about a teacup full of real, heavy, clear liquid came out of her. And the tumor was completely gone off of her body. Now, she went home, and after she got home, she called back to the church, and she said, "I want to tell you something that I discovered." She said, "Before I came down for ministry, I weighed." And said, "After I got home, I thought, well, I'll weigh again since that big tumor has gone off of me." She said, "I weigh 10 pounds less than I did this morning when I came for deliverance." That tumor had gone out, and 10 pounds of tumor had left that woman's body. We found things like allergies were demonic. I had allergies. From the time I was about 8 or 9 years of age, I developed terrible cases of allergy, of hay fever, and of asthma. And we discovered that those things were demonic. And when those spirits of allergy went out of me, it's been about 9 or 10 years ago now, I have been completely free of those allergies and that asthma since that time. We found out that high blood pressure was demonic. Ida Mae had high blood pressure. When our little girl was born, there were complications of pregnancy called eclampsia, which involved uremic poisoning and convulsions, and she and the little child both almost died. God just sovereignly spared their lives. And the doctors said, when you get to be 40 years of age, because of this problem, you will develop high blood pressure. Well, she was very dutiful to follow what the doctor had said. And when she turned 40, her high blood pressure appeared. And the doctor said, "Yes, you have high blood pressure. We got to watch it." Well, at that time, we moved from Texas up to Colorado, and she got away from the doctor that she'd been going to. And we found out she had high blood pressure again, and she went to a doctor in Colorado, and he said, "We're going to have to put you on medication." Well, it was about this time that we experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit and began to learn about demons. The first deliverance that we had in our little church fellowship was Ida Mae. And there was a man who had come over, and he was teaching, and as he taught a little while, he said, "Well, I discern that somebody has a spirit of torment on them." Well, we had never seen any deliverance, you know, like this before. And so Ida Mae said she thought about that and said, "That sounds like me." Well, anyway, as it turned out, she did have that spirit of torment in her. And when this preacher laid his hand on her shoulder, that demon took her off, and down in the floor she went. And we had a shag rug, and under the power of that demon, Ida Mae's hand dug in that carpet and lifted that carpet up off of the floor. And the battle was on. Now, there was a spirit of high blood pressure that was discerned, and the demon of high blood pressure was commanded to come out of Ida Mae. It began to pressure her. Her head began to swell until the blood vessels around her eyes ruptured, the little blood vessels, from the intensity of the swelling and the pressure. It was so intense, I took photographs of her the next day. I took her out in the sunlight and photographed her. I thought it was such an unusual thing. And she looked like she'd been in a fight and had two black eyes. But she got rid of the high blood pressure spirit. The scripture says that when the demons come out, sometimes they tear you. We have dealt in deliverance with spirits of insanity. We have dealt with spirits of diabetes. I know in a group ministry in a Four Square Gospel Church up in Colorado, God gave me discernment on spirits of diabetes. I commanded them to leave. I found out later that there were 3 people in that service that afterwards went back to their doctors, and the doctor said, "We cannot find any evidence of diabetes in your body. There's no sign that to us that you have ever had that problem. All the symptoms and evidences of it were completely gone when the demons were cast out." Well, see, that's valuable. When the Lord gives you these discerning of spirits so that you'll know what to deal with and know that you're not dealing just with some kind of a physical problem. Now, let me give you another illustration to kind of emphasize the other side. Here for a while, I had been getting phone calls from a lady who lived way out of state from Texas. And she would call me very frequently and ask me to minister deliverance to her over the phone, which I do sometimes. I don't like to do that too much, but if the Lord shows me, I will do it. And so I ministered deliverance to her over the phone, and a few days later she called me back and said those demons were back. And what we were dealing with spirits of gluttony. And she said, I have gluttony. She said, I get up in the middle of the night and raid the refrigerator. She said, I have spirits of smoking. She said, I try to quit smoking, and then all of a sudden I just can't keep from smoking, and I go get a cigarette, and I get back on cigarettes again. So the two things that she kept asking me to minister to her for was gluttony and the nicotine. So I pictured, you know, as a gluttonous woman. I thought, well, she must weigh 400 pounds or something, you know, the way she talks about the way she eats and raids the refrigerator. So one day when she called, I said, by the way, would you share with me how much you weigh? She said, I weigh 95 pounds. Well, I finally told her, I said, I'm not going to minister deliverance to you anymore, because I said, there's something else, and until God shows me and gives me instruction about what we're dealing with, I'll not minister to you anymore on the phone. So I was praying for her one day, and the Lord gave me the discerning of hypoglycemia, that this was her problem. And so when she called back, I said, well, sister, God has revealed to me that you have hypoglycemia. And this is the thing that causes you to crave food, because when you eat, and she wanted to eat sweets, you see her sugar level was real low, and that food would cause that sugar level to jump real fast. Now, nicotine will do the same thing to the blood sugar level. It'll make it jump up. So that's the reason she was craving the sweets, and the reason she was craving the nicotine was because she was hypoglycemic. And she called back later and said that that discernment was accurate. And what she needed was healing from hypoglycemia, and the Lord healed her, she said, by her own testimony, of hypoglycemia. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to know what you're dealing with, so you won't be just striking the air and just batting around at whatever comes along. Now, another one of the valuable purposes of discerning of spirits is that it guides us as deliverance ministers through the process of deliverance when we're ministering to somebody. Now, this is true when you're ministering to an individual, and it's also true when you're ministering in a group deliverance like we do here. I seek to depend upon the Holy Spirit to give me discerning of spirit, because I know there are people there with special problems. God may want to pick out one person. There may just be one person with one particular need, and out of the whole group, God may want to minister to that one. I was out in the Los Angeles area in January, and we had a group deliverance in a situation there where there were about 500 people. And there were perhaps a dozen black people in that group. And I had never received this particular discerning of spirits before. But as I was ministering to the whole group, the discernment came of sickle cell anemia. And I knew that that was something that afflicted only the black race. And so I obeyed the Spirit of God, and I commanded the spirit of sickle cell anemia to come out. And when I did, there was a young black lady, looked like about 19 or 20 years of age, and that demon screamed and began to come out of her. And that young lady was set free from the powers of sickle cell anemia. So it's just beautiful to follow the Holy Spirit and to work in the Holy Spirit. See, when you follow the Holy Spirit, God will give discernments. Now, sometimes, you know, you get a discernment and you call for a demon and you do not see a manifestation. And you know in your spirit. You don't go by an outward manifestation. You go by the knowing in your own spirit what's taking place. Now, God is not an author of confusion. And I had to learn this, because sometimes God would give me a discernment. I'd call for that demon. I knew it didn't come out, but God would give me another discernment. So I would call for the next spirit discerned, and still nothing would happen. Still nothing would come out. But God would give me another discernment on a different spirit. And I would call that one out. And if you'll follow the Lord, see, this is the beautiful thing. God sometimes does it different than the way our logical minds want it to be done. When I first got into deliverance, I would sometimes hound one spirit for 10 hours trying to get it to come out. Now, when you move into discernment, say, here are times when I'll be ministering, and God will give 25 discernments, and I command those spirits to come out, and nothing's happening. There's no manifestation, and there's no witness in my spirit that that person is getting any deliverance. I just keep following what the Spirit is showing me. And then about the time I call demon number 30, and all 30 of them come out at one time. Glory to God. See, God knows what He's doing. And so it's just wonderful to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and do what the Spirit shows us to do. Now, another valuable use of discerning of spirits is to discern when spirits are in operation, causing someone to operate as a false prophet or a false teacher, somebody that's not walking in the Spirit of the Lord, that's come into our meetings in some kind of a deceptive guise. I'll give you an illustration of this one. I was ministering in a little home fellowship up in Colorado, in a little town up there in the mountains, and the people were so excited when I got to the meeting one day, and they said, "Brother Frank, there is a new man in town." And we found out he has the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and he is going to be the new editor of our city newspaper. And he has told us that he's going to join our group and that he's going to give us a lot of front page publicity in our little hometown newspaper, and we can write articles and we can promote our work here and our little church here. And they were just so excited, and I was excited too, because we hadn't had many members lately, and we were just looking for this brother that was going to be a help to come in. So he comes into the meeting, and as he steps in the door, before I'd ever spoke to him or anything else, the Spirit of God said unto me, "He is a wolf in sheep's clothing." And before that meeting was over, the true colors of that brother came to light. And you talk about somebody that was messed up. I won't have to give you all the details of it, but it wasn't long after that the whole town ran him off. Hallelujah. The whole town said, "We don't want this guy in our community," and they ran him out of town. But see, isn't that beautiful that the Lord warns you, rather than just taking somebody in that's false, somebody that's just coming in to bring some kind of a problem, that the Lord will disclose those things. Well, the Spirit of God will operate in discerning of spirit, like we need to know who the strong men over the areas. And we just get so blessed as we go from place to place and even into foreign countries where God tells us what the strong man is. I remember when we ministered in Holland. That's a kind of a unique country over there. And God showed to us that the ruler spirit over Holland is a spirit of import. You know, the Dutch have been noted as being traders to go off all over the world, going down to the Indies, bringing in the spices. But they brought in more than spices and tobacco. They brought in every concoction of Oriental religion imaginable. And so the spirit that was over that little nation, God says he is a spirit of import. And that whole nation, there's many nationalities that live there. There are many false religions in that little country. And all of that had been imported. And so we bind up those spirits as God reveals them so that we can do the work of God when we go into those places. I remember we were going into a city out west. We'd never been to that place before. About 10 miles out of town, Adam, they said, "Oh, there's a spirit of poverty over this area." When we went into that town to minister, we found out, the people there told us that at least 90% of the people living in that community were on some kind of welfare. It was an extreme poverty area. And so God reveals to us the nature of the strong man in these areas where we go to minister. You don't learn to operate in the gifts of the Spirit by study alone. Not by just reading or not just by wishing, but we must pray and pray in faith to receive the gifts of God's Holy Spirit so that we can minister as we should. See, those of us who have received the Holy Spirit and have received the precious gifts of the Spirit, we can lay hands. Paul talked to Timothy about the anointing and the gifts that came on him through the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, of the elders. And you know, it says over in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, it's Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9, that it says that Joshua had the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands upon him. See, there is the impartation of the Spirit of God. There are several times in the book of Acts where people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was because someone who already had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit laid hands upon them and prayed for them, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. The gifts of the Spirit immediately began to operate in those persons' lives. Now, there's one thing I believe God wants us to do by way of ministry here tonight, and that is to lay hands upon those of you who have not yet received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But you've learned about it, you've heard about it, you've been waiting for an opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and God says, tonight is the night. You know, God had put that in my spirit. I hadn't shared it with Ida Mae, but she was saying, as she sat by me here at the first of the service, she whispered to me, and she said, Honey, I don't know what the Lord's going to have you to do, but I talked to a little girl today who said that she wanted to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And those of you that are here tonight that have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you desire this blessing from God so that you will be equipped to do the work of God and to minister to others in the power of God's Holy Spirit, we want to pray for you. Let's everybody stand. And those of you that have not yet received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues, we want you to just come and form a line and just stand right down here in front of the auditorium. That's right. Just step right on out. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. God loves this. God loves this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's just fill this altar up. We have to have two rows. We'll have two rows. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know that this is your night. Praise the Lord. Just come and stand right here. Good to see these young people coming. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I wished I'd had this when I was his age. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Beautiful. Beautiful in the Lord. Don't miss your blessing now. Don't chicken out. Glory to God. This is a precious gift. You know who it's for? It's for those who are God's children. In the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, it talks about a father that knows how to give good gifts to his children. And he says, if you ask God for bread, he won't give you a stone. If you ask for a fish, he won't give you a serpent. If you ask for an egg, he won't give you a scorpion. But he's going to give you a good gift. He says, if an earthly father, being evil, knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to his children? So the condition by which we receive the Holy Spirit and the baptism and the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit, we first of all have to be God's child. We have to be born again and born into the kingdom of God, and then we are eligible to receive the baptism and the anointing of power. So have all of you received Jesus as your Savior? Anybody that hasn't, that's in this little group up here tonight? Because that's the prerequisite. Now, the Scripture says that you have to ask. When you ask in faith. Glory to God, our ranks are swelling. We ask in faith and we receive. Now, since this is an impartation time, I want someone to come up who has the baptism in the Holy Spirit and will impart the Holy Spirit to these. I want somebody standing behind each one of these people here. I want a Spirit-baptized believer standing behind each one of these people here to lay your hands on them and to pray for them to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit through impartation. Praise God. We're going to have good old body ministry. Now, ask and ye shall receive. Now, you ask in faith. You know that God has given you a promise that if you ask Him for the Holy Spirit, He will give you the Holy Spirit. And we know from the Scripture that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive the ability to pray in another tongue. So you're also going to have faith tonight to believe that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that He will give you a prayer language and you will begin to speak to God in a prayer language that you have never spoken in before. Glory to God. Now, God's not going to force you to do this. The Spirit of God will not force you to speak in tongues. He's not going to take you over and just cause you to do it. But see, you yield to the Holy Spirit. You just submit to the Holy Spirit. And it says, as it says in the second chapter of Acts, they spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. You'll actually do the speaking, but it will be the Holy Spirit that will give you the language. So you will not be speaking in English or any other known language to you, but you will just yield to the Holy Spirit and begin to pray. So just put your mind on the Lord when you get to this point and say, Lord, I've needed to talk to you in a way that I just couldn't talk to you in English. I just ran out of words and ideas. And I'm going to let the Spirit of God just pray through me and speak through me. And that's exactly what will happen. I want to lead you in a very simple prayer and a statement of your own faith as to what you're receiving from the Lord. And then these standing behind you will lay hands upon you and you receive the Holy Spirit and you begin to speak in tongues. Glory to God. Say this with me, all of you who've come for the baptism. Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. I've trusted in you to save me from my sins. You are the Lord of my life. I love you. I desire to follow you and walk in obedience before you. Lord, I need your empowerment. You say in your word that any one of your children who asks for the Holy Spirit will be given the Holy Spirit. I am your child, and you are my Heavenly Father. And I ask you now, give me your Holy Spirit. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Lord, I receive the Holy Spirit, and I receive the new language that you have given to me. And right now, by faith, I receive your Spirit, and I speak in other tongues. Now just lift your hands to the Lord. Put your mind on the Lord. Now men, people behind them, lay hands upon them in the name of Jesus. That's right, many of you, that's right. That's right, already speaking in tongues. That's right, let it flow. Let it flow. Koromana kasalyelia talabanana. Korea paraka satikiatolo. Kelia satara banana kasikiato. Kelia satara. Kolia palatara. Kalia satara. All the way down this line. The power of God's Holy Spirit is flowing. The power of God's Spirit is moving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the power of Jesus' name, we bind every spirit that would interfere. Now just keep praying in tongues for a long time. Just praying in tongues, it'll get freer. It'll flow more freely, that's right. All the way up and down this line, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Kuria paramana kasilya la pariato roto. Kelia satara manana kasilya la kaliato roko. Helia manana karana. Kelia satora manaka salya la manaka solia paliata. Kuria parana kasilya la kasiriata lokora. Kelia satara manana kasilya la parata. Kelia la manana kaporoko koriatara. Kiki asatoya la manato. Just keep on praying in the spirit. No English, just let that tongue flow. Coria paramana casilla la pariattoro, Kelia sataramana casilla la pariattoro. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we continue to pray for your blessing upon each one of these who come forward. Thank you, Lord, for these who are now moving in your spirit and speaking in other tongues in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the other gifts of the Spirit that will be flowing through these young people and through these servants of yours, these handmaidens and these servants of the Most High God. Thank you, Lord, for the empowerment of your Spirit, Lord, that as they pray in other tongues, they're edified and they're built up and they're strengthened in the Spirit, man. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you and we praise you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kolia palaparaka sitia piliama, pelia lamanaka staria kolia palapara. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord God. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for the visitation of your Spirit in this service tonight. Thank you for the mighty power and the anointing of your Spirit, Jesus. That's right. That's right. There's just one or two of you just still having just a little bit of waiting time. Do you learn how to step out in faith and begin to just take that step of faith? It's like Peter walking on the water. You have to get out of the boat and begin to walk. But God's Spirit will not fail you. He'll meet you there. He gives you that language and it flows. It says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he concerning the Spirit. Yes, Jesus. Sotio kia satoria. Kelia la pariato. Kelia la mene casidia talaparata. Kelia satora mene casatalia. Kelia la casa. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody just continue to pray. Why don't all of you just pray in the Spirit? Pray in the Spirit. Most of these have already received their tongues.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.